Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed, and a very, very pleasant good spring. Good spring Sunday morning to you. This here is your Uncle Mark, and you found your way back. You found your way back to the garage, despite the snow that we had just days ago. It's actually melted here, and not for nothing. You know, everybody is all up in arms about NCAA and March Madness, and I just sit here on my hands saying, I can't wait to get out to Auto Club Speedway myself. About 3:49 this afternoon, we're looking at a green flag for another run. And, you know, we're finishing up, folks, this West Coast swing of NASCAR. You know, a lot of folks are wondering, myself, I guess, first and foremost, if it's going to be a West Coast sweep out there. As Kevin Harvick, just dominant. Kevin Harvick, my goodness, he's doing just crazy, crazy stuff, putting together win after win after win. There's a compromise nowhere in his game, it seems. Everything that he has put together has worked. It's just astounding. You know, people are comparing it to, you know, Gordon, I guess, back in what year, Brandon? Maybe 97, 98, Jeff Gordon?
Somewhere.
Right. Good morning to
yeah,
you.
He was pretty. Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, he was pretty dominant back then. Can you hear me okay? Is everything
good? I'm
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Volume's good. Well, it's just astounding. I mean, there he was at PIR last week, you know, on the heels of the week before putting together, you know, his win at Las Vegas. Then he comes back to Phoenix, you know, virtually up the road. What does he do there but dominate and win again? And, you know, just to add a little spice to the chili, I guess, he went out yesterday and drove for Junior Motorsports, the 88, and put together a win for the Xfinity level. So he's got a win already. My goodness, is there anybody can stop this man? Is there anybody can stop this
guy?
We'll see.
I don't know right now.
I
think you're going to see a good run out of him today, but I think the biggest competition might come from his own teammate today. That's the way I look at it anyway.
Absolutely, and we're going to touch on that too. We're going to touch on that Kurt Busch. How about that Kurt Busch driving that 41? Kurt Busch had some interesting things to say just prior to taking the car last week for his top five finish at Las Vegas, and we're going to share those thoughts that he had. We've got a little clip of that just around 2.5 minutes. We're going to play that for you. And we're going to chat up a little bit about what Kurt Busch is doing and what we can expect from him. And we'll take a little more look at the Auto Club Speedway. You know, we've had some issues there. This is going to be the first race now in quite a few that we have not had Kyle Busch in attendance. As we know, Kyle was rendered seriously injured back in the Daytona event at the Xfinity level when he unfortunately met a concrete wall that was not safe or barriered in any way. And he only happens to be the winner of the last two cup races in 2013 and 2014 at this venue. So we're going to chat a little of that as well. And of course, we'll jump over the pit wall. We've got all kinds of, I shared with Brandon Yu, and I believe we have Sidekick with us this morning as well. I shared up a whole bunch of crazy little snippets and nuggets, and I thought we could all just kind of pick one or two that we thought were our favorites. I actually have a separate list from what I've sent you gentlemen so that I could throw a couple in that we didn't even, that neither of you had a thought of. But good morning, Sidekick. You are with us, I believe. Is that right, coming from St. Louis?
Yes, sir. No snow here, buddy.
Yeah, good for you. What's your temperature out
there?
Hey,
we don't have any
breather. We're in the 60s yesterday.
So, how you feeling this morning? How is it there? I want to say we're in the, around the 40s probably, Brandon. Would you say that's right here on the East Coast?
Yeah, we're in the 40s, but it's bright and sunny, so it makes it feel warm.
Yeah, it is lovely. And what about
amazing.
It, Sidekick? Yeah? Are you warmer than the 40s, or does that sound about right for you?
No, we're up in the 50s.
All right, real good. Good for you. Well, you know, not for nothing. I'm California dreaming. And I guess to kick it off, it's a funny thing. I'll ask you men without, you know, having the benefit that I did because I went and looked. We got 43 drivers that are registered to compete today. They have entered. They have qualified. Any guess on the number of drivers at the Sprint Cup level today that hail from California? Either of you want to just take a stab at that? We're gonna leave that. I'll give the answer a little bit later because if there's anyone listening and they would like to chime in with us and you want to give us your guess, how many drivers of the 43 this morning, this afternoon, that will be running in California at Fontana, how many of those of the 43 are actually, you know, from California? They either live there now or they are hailing from that state. Be interesting to see what the guesses are. Reach out and holler at us, 347-826-9964. I'm having my morning monster. Thank you, Brandon, once again.
Yeah, man.
I grabbed a monster. And what are you doing, espresso, cappuccino, nitro shots, Sidekick, this morning, or...
No, actually, I'm just going with a little dew this morning.
Oh, a little bit of Mountain Dew. Wow, that's amazing.
Are you crazy?
I can't believe it. Also out there in California, we've got a couple manufacturers, too. I think both you gentlemen know this. Haas Automation is out there in Oxnard, California, and TRD, Toyota Racing Development, is out there in Costa Mesa, California. So, interestingly enough, we have Harvick running strong, and he's in the backyard of essentially one of his bosses. So he wants to look sharp and look clean today. And TRD, what is going on? Anybody want to venture a guess? Are we going to see some good action from Toyotas today?
I hope so. I'd like to see them change. I was one of the believers who thought Carl Edwards was going to be a shot in their arm. Well, so far, Carl Edwards has not been... spectacular. If anything, I think Denny Hamlin's probably been running the strongest. Him and Kenseth, for sure, you know, are the two making the most noise. Michael Waltrip Racing seems non-existent, which is a shame.
Oh, yeah, boy, you can say that again. And they've lost Vickers.
Yeah, interesting thing, though, I've noticed this weekend, and I don't know, maybe it just seems odd to me or not, but there's actually two peak Blue Death cars this week in this race. One of them is from the Toyota stable of Michael Waltrip, Clint Boyer.
Right, he's running the 15.
Danica Patrick's running the number 10 Chevy. You have two completely different organizations.
That isn't Aspen. I thought she was Aspen Dental this week.
Oh, I thought she was the Blue Death. All right, maybe I saw it wrong.
It
doesn't matter. She's going to be in the wall.
Oh, golly.
You know what? You might be right.
I was waiting to hear.
She's going to be back in the hall or making me a sandwich, okay?
Oh, no. Well, I believe I'm right. I could be incorrect. Maybe it's... I had seen so many photos yesterday, you know, online. There's so many different NASCAR sites that have people right there on the ground, and they take great photos. But I thought I had seen the number 10 from the back side, and I thought I saw Aspen Dental with the description that this, in fact, was Danica's car. But I never saw the side to actually see the number 10. So I'm not sure. But I hear what you're saying. The paint scheme looks virtually identical.
It is Aspen Dental. You are correct.
Okay.
I was incorrect.
That's okay.
Uncle Mark.
I know she's had peak Blue Death on the car before. Maybe that sponsorship jumped from, you know, Stuart Haas over to Michael
over
Waltrip.
Now they're probably regretting that at this point, wouldn't you say? Considering how Toyota's kind of just, you know, muttered along. Yeah, what say you, sidekick?
I was going to say, did I hear you correctly? Did you just say that she's wearing Aspen Dental across her rear?
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll get into what Alex Bowman had to say, because I understand he annoyed her, and then she later said she was going to unneed him but we can touch on that. Listen, real quick and fast, folks, if you're out there, give us a holler at 347-826-9964. Last week, Harvick just dominates. He tore it up, right? Got his second win of this early season. He got his seventh. That is a record seventh win at PIR. I was happy to see Jamie McMurray run second. Who was third? But once again, hello, Newman. That guy is consistent. That goes to something that you've hammered and hammered and hammered, and slowly it's getting through my thick skull, sidekick, that consistency is the name of the game. He ran third last week. Kurt Busch, yeah, he turned in a nice fifth place, a top five, first time back in the car after having been suspended, as we know. And boy, oh boy, forget about it. That Martin Truex Jr., I don't know, he looks like the real deal, guys. His average finish is 5.8, just around the 6 average finish after 4 races. Tell you what, things are starting to click, it would seem. And he drives a Chevy as well. Am I right about that? I believe he drives a Chevy.
Yeah.
I'm used to
actually, he's
right?
Driving.
The old days, he was MWR and Toyota.
Well, he's driving a satellite car. He's driving a Front Row Motorsports car, which is a satellite of Richard Childress. And he's running Childress cars, frames, chassis, and engines. Plus, they're also getting engineering support. As I just read recently, believe it or not, his crew chief that's on that Front Row Motorsports car was the highest crew chief that used to be in Richard Childress's Nationwide Series last year. He's not running the Nationwide Series for some reason this year, or if he is, it's at a very limited basis. He's not running a full-time team like he had been. And that guy, so he has ties, and they're getting, lots of sharing information, et cetera. You could almost look at Front Row and RCR as a four-car team the way they're doing it, which is good. That might
be really
some
is.
Of the improvement from, last year.
Yeah, which is good.
Started last year. I mean, the end of last year, he actually did pick it up. So he's actually continued. So that's actually, I wouldn't be shocked to see a win from the 78 at some point this year. Maybe
absolutely.
Not today, but I have a feeling, I think today you're going to see a lot of Harvick and a lot of Busch up front.
I think it's going to be
a Busch-led race. And I don't think Danica is going to be anywhere near it, if you get my drift.
Well, I wonder. I mean, because you are talking about two of, possible four SHR drivers. And it is good. I think it's very good, obviously, that Kurt Busch is not only back in the car, but he's finding success, or apparently finding success. He controlled the weekend up to this point from the standpoint of not only did he win the pole to start from the first slot, but he led all the practice sessions virtually as well. So, I mean, the man's just, he is driving like a man possessed. Now, flip that over for the Chevy drivers. Gordon, we've talked about some of his struggles. Obviously, he did a bit better. I believe he came in somewhere in the top 20 last week. I don't have the number right before me. I want to say maybe he got an 18th place finish. But sidekick, let me ask you, Tony Stewart's struggle seems to continue. Shall we tell Stewart fans to back away from the ledge? Don't jump off yet. I mean, there's still time for Stewart, right? He's going to come around. What do you think?
Yeah, he'll come around. I mean, everybody, we've talked about it for a number of years now with Tony Stewart. This just isn't his time of the year. He's much better when the tracks get slicker and get more like dirt track. You'll see, late in the summer and stuff like that is when we typically see a lot more of Stewart and stuff. But, being the owner and, a racer or driver, it is a little upsetting not to see, see Tony having so much bad luck, it seems, here the past year or two. So, hopefully he can get this turned around.
Right, absolutely, because as we say, there are his two, essentially stablemates, starting from the first and second position today. Clearly, Stuart Haas Automation is running good equipment, and it would seem that there's certainly not going to be any drop-off for the boss in terms of his equipment as compared to his two teammates that are running strong. Let me ask you this, and I read this, a couple of times over the week. There is speculation being put out there that by virtue of the fact that he is not running anything but the NASCAR Sprint Cup level, and he's not driving sprint cars, and he's not able to get in behind the wheel and pilot multiple times a week as he had been, do you suppose that is kind of hurting not his ability so much, but maybe his confidence? Do you think there is there something to that? Because I might almost buy into that. In other words, the more you do it, the better you get, the more confidence you have going into a Sunday. Do you think that might be true, Sidekick?
That might be part of it is, like you see these guys, like Kyle Busch when he's in the series, he'll run every race on the weekend.
Right.
He'll race trucks,
right.
Xfinity, and then you'll see him out, during the week at all these other little tracks and stuff like that, kind of like, Tony likes to do a lot of dirt track racing. So,
right.
And I think that may play into it, but, he's also, I think Tony's just had a lot on his plate. If you look back the past couple of years, he started, he left Joe Gibbs, got with Gene Haas, formed Stuart Haas Automation Racing. He had the broken leg, 2 years ago?
Right.
3 years ago.
Yeah, that was 13. Mm-hmm.
Had the accident last year, was out of the car.
Right.
Last year was the first year that, he missed the chase in, however long.
Right.
And he's a team owner. So I think, I think he, instead of taking all the resources and making sure that he's got good cars, I think he's putting much more effort into Kevin Harvick, Danica, into the whole team, and, where he may not be paying that much attention to his own stuff. You know what I mean? So, and that may kind of be taking a little bit, plus, the other stuff that we've talked about, over the past couple seasons. So I think he's just got a lot on his plate.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. And another group that obviously, and we kind of alluded to it, Brandon, at the top, another group that's just got all kinds of questions and have just not met with success has been the Toyota stable. And that would include, obviously, the Michael Waltrip group. As I mentioned, unfortunately, Brian Vickers, we wish him well here from Frat House Sports, battles yet another round of health issues with blood clot. He will be removed from the 55 going forward. That essentially leaves, is it Brett Moffitt, I believe, that's going to run for him. And
yeah, I think that's what
Clint
they're going to do.
Boyer running the 15, right?
Yeah, they moved Moffitt from the front row car that he was getting. A few
right. He was in for Reagan.
Right.
Originally.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're just swapping them all around.
Right.
But Moffitt is under contract with Michael Waltrip, so he is
right.
A Michael
Waltrip.
Right, so
he's a Toyota guy. Absolutely right. He's a Toyota guy.
They're going to go there first if they can.
Interesting.
What?
Yeah.
He actually ran the first race after Daytona, which was, I believe, Atlanta, that in relief of
Brian
Vickers before he came back. And he took that car to an eighth place finish.
Yeah,
that's
he did a nice
bad.
Job.
Yeah,
yeah
that's
he
not,
did a nice
that's
job.
Not bad. So,
for
you know,
a youngster.
Probably one of the bright spots of Toyota all year is when you got a guy who's in his, has only been in a handful of Sprint Cup races, drives to eighth in a sub role. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was very good. I agree with you.
Maybe this could be a blessing in disguise for Michael Waltrip, and maybe the kid will bring something to the car that, the other two guys weren't. I don't know.
Yeah, that's possible because you're right. I mean, I guess Clint Boyer and other pilots. I mean, the same could be said, of Chevy and we mentioned Tony Stewart. Pilots that are experienced sit behind the vehicle wheel and they talk to their crew chief and they know the feel they want from the vehicle. It should feel like this. And it's not feeling like that. And they attempt to communicate that. But when you have someone like a Brett Moffitt coming in, Well, perhaps the lack of experience, the lack of the feel, is actually, as you say, sort of a blessing in disguise, because he wouldn't know if it's supposed to feel good or not, so he's going to drive the heck out of the vehicle. I just have to share this quote, which I found very amusing, you know, to illustrate how tough the Toyota folks have had it, and the pilots have had it, and the crews have had it. Last week, one of the Toyota, they didn't name names in the article I pulled it from, radioed to his chief, "This piece of blank will not get up off the corners." In the meantime, Denny Hamlin, and I don't know if I want to attribute that quote to Denny, but essentially Denny Hamlin did say, and this is a direct quote about Toyotas, "All of our cars suck right now."
Wow.
And there can be nobody that can be happy about this. Obviously, Joe Gibbs is very, I'm sure, very, very disappointed and is probably chomping at the bit. And, of course, we mentioned, you know, the Waltrip camp. There are only maybe, one or two other Toyotas that are even at the cup level. When we look down to the lower tiers at Xfinity, there is more Toyota representation. And when we go to the trucks, and of course they've been off for the last 3 weeks, I believe they kick it up next week again when we go to Martinsville. Is that where we're off to next? I believe they will join back in, and we'll, you know, the trucks will be in. But they too seem to have good Toyota representation when you look down the listing. But at this highest level right now, Denny Hamlin is not shy to say, "This isn't working. This isn't working at all." And Clint Boyer himself has not been happy.
You know who I think would be the loudest of them all is the one sitting at home with the broken legs and feet would be Kyle Busch, because Kyle Busch was always in the past very vocal when, you know, he noticed a severe lacking of horsepower on the track.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't get what Toyota's doing, because normally if you're lacking in power, you'll see them try stuff and, you know, they'll put one of them out there with a little different motor that might have more horsepower to see if it lives or blows up. And we haven't even seen, they haven't done any of that. I'm not sure why. It's almost like they're just content sitting on their hands, which I don't agree with. I think they should be more proactive in trying to try things. I mean, that's what racing's all about. If somebody gets an edge on you, you got to go back out there and, you know, get an edge on them. And if you're losing, you know, horsepower down the straightaway or won't come off the straightaway, then you got to change something in your package to give yourself more power coming off the turn, and they're not even doing it. I don't understand why.
Well, here's a question for you. Are we all sold on the fact that Toyota's struggles are the engine?
Well, it certainly looks like it coming off the turns. What Mark, the saying he did about, you know, this car is a piece of crap coming off the you know, the turn, you can see that. Now, I don't know if that's just a because Harvick's been so dominant, but, I mean, nobody can hang with him coming off of a turn. I mean, he comes out of that turn, and he's like a rocket ship going down the straightaway. And none of the Toyotas seem to have that.
Right.
I mean,
bearing in mind, too, that Las Vegas was a relatively flat track. I mean, it's not even as though there was a lot of banking that would help propel a car through a turn, because, you know, essentially the best way there was to try to go through the center of the turn rather than go high or go low, because it was a relatively flat track. Go ahead, Sidekick.
Well, I was going to say, because remember the Dodges in the last few years, they had that when they went to the new, you know, car tomorrow, I think, you know, they had that front end that just was horrible. And they had to, they were sitting there trying to tweak the front end of the car to make the nose, you know, because they're trying to mimic, you know, the street version of the car. So the front end was like boxy. And they were saying, you know, part of Dodge's problem was that front end on that car. So the next season they came back and they modified the front end. So, you know, I'm wondering if Toyota's not having a problem with, you know, something else in the car, you know. You know, last year, yeah, they were blowing motors all over the place. But this year, it does, you know, I haven't quite seen that. And I'm just wondering if maybe it's something else in the design of the car that is, you know, giving them that problem coming off the corner or something. something in this new rules package?
That's a very good question. And they did not have as many engines blow up last year as they did the prior year. But that year, the prior year, 2013, if you remember, Toyota was dominant. I mean, Matt Kenseth had how many wins? Seven. Kyle Busch had multiple wins when you run down the list of Toyotas from 2013. Although, everyone was kind of wondering, oh my gosh, are we going to see one of these Toyota engines blow up? Because, in fact, they had tweaked up their horsepower to such a degree that last year they kind of, TRD kind of dialed it back because they were tired of the engine failures, especially at pivotal moments. I mean, the last thing you want to do is have your engine blow up with 20 to go and you've been running strong all day. And this year, of course, the entire package changed, in which we've had a dialing back of horsepower as well. So going into the year, it appeared as though, okay, Toyota is going to be a little more on the same footing as Ford and Chevy, which both manufacturers seemed obviously more dominant last year as compared to Toyota. But thus far, it just hasn't translated, really, has it? Now, let's take a quick peek. You know, it's early. We've only had four races, but after four on the floor, you know, Kevin Harvick's our leader at this point, looking at least the top 10 of points standing here. Logano, Team Penske, huh? As Fred Housemike would say, Logano's in second. He's just 22 points back. Martin Truex in third. Very nice. Casey Kane, arguably one of the best Hendrick performers, I guess we could say, we've seen thus far, despite the fact Johnson's had a win. Casey Kane sitting in fourth. Frat House sports friend Liz Scarnati has to be loving that AJ Allmendinger at the moment. That little one horse town, that one car team sits in fifth, which is great. Dale Jr. right there in sixth. We've got Johnson seven. Newman in eighth, Keselowski, the other pesky driver, is ninth, and Kenseth, he comes in at 10th, and he's the only wave of the flag we have for Toyota, at least in our top 10 going into today. We're going to see what happens. We're all of us, we have our own hopes. I'll say, and I think you gentlemen would agree, it would be nice if we had Kyle Busch today, simply by virtue of the fact that he would be, he is, in fact, the defending champion, but he would be the defending champion were Kyle available to run today. But let's flip it quick. Let's talk about his brother, Kurt Busch. He was the bane of everyone's existence. He was the bane of the sport's existence. Chevy wanted nothing to do with him. Merchandise ceased to be sold immediately at Daytona when it was announced he would not be racing that event. He proceeded then to miss several events before being reinstated. And what did he do last week? He only came out, as I said at the top of the program, and gave us a top five in Phoenix. What I'd like to do, we're going to share this little short clip, but I'll say this going in and then coming out, either Brandon or Sidekick, feel free to jump in with your comments about what you hear here. I'm going to say this. I think Fox, and this is, I almost choke on the words, Fox did the right thing. It seems hard to believe, but Fox Sports, Fox NASCAR did the right thing by having this conversation with Chris Myers. It was a relatively calm and apparently candid Busch. I think he scored a victory in the court of public opinion. I'll be curious to see if there's still going to be any further pushback in terms of, you know, what he is accused of doing anyway that might come against NASCAR or Stuart Haas or Chevy. But let's go ahead and hit this up.
No criminal charges, but there are still people out there who may say, well, he must have done something.
Well, my reply to that would be yes, domestic abuse is a serious issue. The next step is the worst problem with that is when you're falsely accused of it. It hurts the real victims. That's what I have to say to that.
Okay. And there is a real difference between a personal disagreement versus domestic abuse in your eyes.
Well, in somebody that has had, you know, moments of anger issues, That's one thing when you're frustrated about a bad finish. But going to a step to actually hurt a woman or to hurt somebody, that's not in my realm. That's way beyond my reach.
Do you feel that you have anger management issues?
I feel like I haven't handled a lot of the situations in my past to the best of my ability. As I move forward and as I put things in place, yes, I want to do a better job of coming through this with class and dignity.
And I wanted to read, in the interest of fairness, your ex-girlfriend said after NASCAR reinstated you, "I'm deeply concerned about the message NASCAR is sending by letting him compete for the championship." Your reaction?
There's a road to recovery. I'm following those steps. I've worked with NASCAR through this whole process. I was led to believe the criminal side would have been where there was a decision made, which is the most important side. Beyond what the commissioner had to say, the next step is, yes, all of these allegations are false.
Were there some mistakes, if any, you made along the way in this?
One of them is not changing the code to my motorhome door. I mean, and frankly, choosing the wrong woman to date. I mean, this is a situation that everybody around me and my family has learned from, has been part of, and it's been not just a tough 5 months, but a tough 3.5 years.
Were you worried about your image, your reputation?
It's already taken so many hits and done so many things over the years that the biggest thing I want moving forward is I want this to be me in that car and not anything else. Look at the present, look at the future. My signature's above the door. That's who I am as a racer.
Back to actually driving. You have a fast car here in Phoenix. It's a place you've had success before. Will you be able to focus as much as you always have once you get behind the wheel and race for the win?
I'll tell you, I was a little nervous getting in the car on Friday. And, you know, after my first few laps, we were on top of the board. And I'm like, what do you mean we're on top of the board? I had no idea I'd be able to get back in the car and go that fast. I have to do my job now to focus and to be that professional athlete.
Okay.
Wow.
What do you think? Who wants to kick off? What do you think, Brandon?
They did a good job. I think he addressed a lot of the concerns. I think he said the right things. I think he tried to paint her as a less than credible witness without directly attacking her. And I think that's what he did. I loved his line about, I should have changed the code on my motorhome. I mean, that was just...
Yeah, I found that. I was a chuckle. Yeah, that was a chuckle. I agree.
Yeah, you know. You know, I think he's doing it right. I'm rooting for him, I'll be honest with you. You know, I think I was originally, when this whole thing came out, the first report I heard about it was how Patricia Driscoll was telling people in the infield that she was going to ruin him. She was going to go out there and destroy his NASCAR career. That was the first I heard of long before any of the testimony or the court hearing. There were rumors that she was setting out with the sole purpose of to destroy his career. So, you know, that to me leads to give credence to the false allegations or expanded allegations. Let's say they had a verbal dispute, you know, whether or not he actually laid a hand on her or not, we'll never know for sure. But it's certainly easy if you're yelling at each other in a mobile home to just say, oh, well, he hit me, or he pushed me. What was the word? He shoved me up against the wall. Well, all right. I don't know if he did or didn't. He's claiming he didn't. She's claiming he did. So that's what you got to do. You got to take it for what it's worth. And, you know, I think Kurt Busch is coming off to me as being more credible than she is. So I guess that's where I'm looking at it.
Gotcha. Thoughts on that, Sidekick? Anything? You heard
I don't
that
do
little.
That.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, you're right about that. And that's probably where Brandon's going with it. You know what? You know, he's got sort of a smear on him for bad attitude in the past, right? He dropped the outlaw, as we know. Now he's using his own signature. Any thought there, Sidekick, on what we heard from Kurt? Was that a little stilted? Was that a little too prepared, do you think? Or do you think that was. Was that legit and heartfelt, do you think?
The answers, I liked his answers, but they did sound a little canned to me.
Mm-hmm.
In that. I mean, you know, the one I think was totally, you know, things you could have done better. I agree with Brandon. That quote right there was priceless. You know,
yep.
I probably should have changed the combo on my door.
Mm-hmm. And be careful what woman I date. I kind of like that one too.
Yeah,
kind of threw in there behind it. Mm-hmm.
But no, I, you know, this, I feel bad for Kurt. I mean, obviously, it's a he said, she said, and none of us were there. The only two that probably really know are the two of them. I'd like to give Kurt the benefit of the doubt on it. You know, obviously, he does have a past, but I think that, you know, he realizes what's at stake now, you know? So, and she's just out here running her mouth whenever she can get a chance. I mean, she just annoys the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just wish she would just disappear.
Yeah, you know? I hear you. It was interesting that Chris Myers would proceed to, you know, give some credit. And he even said to Kurt, you know, out of fairness for balance, you know, here is what Patricia Driscoll recently said. I found that interesting that he would do that. At the same time, because the interview was with one person, I don't know that that was required to do. Maybe that was just Fox trying to not, you know, walk in front of, you know, some kind of dagger that they perceived would happen if they didn't give her equal time. But, you know, it didn't matter because she made her own remarks anyway. And, you know, quite frankly, as we've all noted, prior to the entire thing, she went out and more or less said, as Brandon mentioned, I'm going to ruin this guy. But essentially, you know, she blasted NASCAR's decision to reinstate him from what she called a 3-week vacation. So there's a lot of, I don't want to say insanity, but there's a lot of anger here, and there's a lot more to this, and it appears to be that all of the energy is coming from Driscoll's side. And while it did seem to be a little bit staged, a little bit canned, I thought the very even tempo and even nature by which Kurt Busch rendered his responses to a couple hard questions, I thought, and again, credit to Fox, I rarely would say that. I think he has done the right thing. And as you say, Brandon, I wish the guy well. In a funny way, I am rooting for him. You know, but for he's in this situation, I wonder if I would be rooting for him. You know, because
you know,
I'll be honest, Kurt Busch was never exactly one of my favorites. I mean, either Kyle. I was neither. Neither Bush brother was really one of my guys that, boy, I got to put him on my roster. But it's a funny thing because of this, I'm with you. I kind of get behind him and hope that he has success.
Go ahead, Sidekick.
I was going to say, when Kurt was at Front Row, he was my underdog pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, he had his issues. He was coming back. He was on one of these small teams, you know, and he was doing his thing and he was making his mark, you know, and I would root for him occasionally and stuff like that, you know, and kind of that feel good story, like, you know, he almost completely lost his career. You know,
right.
Here he is. He's, you know, he's learning from his mistakes. He's back in a, you know, a lower tier team kind of. You know, and he's, you know, doing his thing, and he's, you know, he's being competitive, you know, so you kind of, you know, want to root for him and stuff. So, yeah, I was never a huge Kurt Busch fan either, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he's probably my underdog, you know, like, come on, Kurt, you know, get this one, you know.
Yeah, right. He's the dark horse, right? Or had been the dark horse for you. So I kind of get what you're saying. All right, so listen, we're gonna swing into California now as part of this West Coast swing. This is the third of the three races. NASCAR, as we know, is headquartered in the East, primarily in North Carolina and, of course, Daytona, both on the East Coast. But these guys have been out. These teams have been out. These crews have been out on the road, and they've been swinging through Arizona and, you know, a couple of cities there, and now we're swinging all the way to the extreme left coast for today's run at Fontana, the Auto Club 400. Now, this is our fifth race on the schedule. Now, I shared up with you gentlemen in the outline a picture of the Auto Club Speedway. I'm not certain that the photo is in fact 100%, not authentic, but 100% contemporary. But the photo did kind of illustrate where safer barriers are currently and where they are not. And I guess the reason I bring this up is obviously if we go back 2 years ago, and it's been that long until yesterday, that Denny Hamlin had actually been back in a vehicle because he ran yesterday in Xfinity piloting the 54 car, which would normally be, I believe, Kyle Busch's regular drive at the Xfinity level. It was piloted by Denny Hamlin, but that was his first competitive run in 2 years. And that goes back to when he and Joey Logano tangled in the final lap coming out of turn four of an outstanding race. They had gone back and forth the prior week. Hamlin supposedly had spun out Logano. Well, turned out that following week, here was Logano, and he decided he was going to punt Hamlin. Well, as we know now, Hamlin, he got punted right into a non-safer wall 2 years ago, proceeded to have a compound fracture, very low back, proceeded to miss four races consequently. And looking at the illustration today, it would almost appear as though there really isn't much change to that fourth turn inside wall. So I'll be curious to see in today's race if we get any further information. Watching Xfinity last night, they really didn't concentrate on it. I didn't hear any chatter really too much about it. Also, another thing about this, interestingly, Kyle Busch, as I mentioned at the top of the show, he's won the last two cup races here in 2013 and 2014. And, you know, unfortunately, he's not here as a result of, once again, the safer barrier or the lack of safer barrier protection at the Daytona track. So a couple of things there. I guess we're going to maybe let's keep our eyes and ears open as the race progresses today.
I'll tell you this.
Go ahead.
I kind of have final practice running in the background with the sound off, and mm-hmm. I'm looking at the picture you sent, and mm-hmm. the outside of the track is very easy and clear to see that section of backstretch that's really straight still does
right.
not have it. But mm-hmm. if you go around to the front part of the track, the wall that breaks apart pit road.
Okay.
It
and
does
that would have been
that. It does appear to have safer barrier on it, because every once in a while you see a shot from the end of pit road, and it looks
right.
like the road, the wall comes out. So,
and that's exactly
I would
the
venture
spot.
A guess.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, so some of it might have been updated.
Okay, well, that's
maybe
very good.
Even as recently as since Daytona, but the
okay.
inside protection of, you know, the outer wall of pit road, I guess is what you'd call it, that's shown
right.
in red on this picture, looks
right,
like it
right.
has safer barrier on it.
All right, that's good. See, as
they,
I say,
they have a car going down
it,
and there's clearly two rows, so
mm-hmm.
I would venture a guess that that is safer barrier now.
All right, very good. I tried to pull up this was the most recent image I could find.
Right.
But once again, I wasn't sure if, in fact, it was 100% contemporary or if it still represented what was prior to the collision that, you know, Hamlin had suffered. Now, I had a couple of one-year-laters. One year later, here at Auto Club Speedway. You know, I got to wonder, is it Larson's turn? You know, he won his first nationwide race he won here a year ago. Now, yesterday, he was top 10, but he wasn't able to repeat as Xfinity, in this case, Xfinity race winner. But the very next day, he ran second to Kyle Busch. And I thought that race, up to that point, I thought that racing between Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch was outstanding. So anybody want to just roll the dice? Can we look for Kyle Larson? Is it something we could consider today? Is Kyle Larson going to get his first cup win?
I would like to think so. Him and McMurray have looked decent in the practices. I mean, McMurray's qualifying didn't go the greatest for some reason. But I've been doing my research for my fantasy stuff, et cetera, and what I want to do, I look at a lot of the practices, because I think the practices are a better gauge of what you're going to see then, this, whatever their fast lap in qualifying was. So, you know, Larson and McMurray have been pretty solid. So I'd like to see, like to think they're going to do well. I really think you're going to see that type of duel, like you said, Kyle and Kyle, but I think you might see Kurt, you might see Kurt and Kevin doing it this year, because I think those two are going to be head and shoulders above the field today.
Yeah.
Just based on what, you know, Harvick's been running, he ran yesterday, and Kurt Busch has been insane in all these practice sessions. So I just kind of have a feeling you're going to see them two. Maybe one of the Penske cars will hang with them for a little bit. We saw a little bit of that last week where from time to time one of the two could run up front, but they weren't consistent. So we might see some of the same. That's kind of what I'm expecting anyway. Although I will say this, go back to our Toyota thing. I've noticed that the key Toyota cars, they're all in the top 15 of the final practice. I mean, Kenseth Hamlin, Clint Bowyer, Carl Edwards, they're all up in the top 15. So they are looking a little better this week, at least right now.
Interestingly enough,
it's going to be a good race.
They, you know, the practice sessions, what, you know, you might get 30 laps in, you might get 35 in. Some guys run fewer laps. There aren't too many that run more, just by virtue of the fact it is a time constrained process to run practice. You're not, I mean, they don't just open the door and go out there for 5 hours, just run till you're dropped. So there is a constraint in terms of how many laps, you know, they actually run in practice. But, you know, the question I think with Toyota, and I think we'll look at it and maybe I'll see it to be correct or wrong today. Does Toyota have the long car or do they have the short car? Because I agree with you, Brandon, to look at the practice runs and qualifying in tandem for this race going into it today at 3:30 our time, one would want to suspect that, yeah, Toyota's right there. They're being well represented. There is no doubt about it. But in fact, when you get into those long green flag runs, and we had at least two that were relatively long, 40 or more yesterday in Xfinity, that's where you see whether or not, and it's more than just the tires are going away. It's almost as though the cars just can't keep up. Sidekick, this one I'll throw over to you. A year ago, the big news, the biggest news that we heard out of this event a year ago was Goodyear tire failures. And there was nothing but tire issues. I mean, tire issues affected at least six or seven drivers last year, and many of those came late in the race. Johnson, late in the race, was rendered effectively out of it. Harvick, we kind of forget, as strong a start as he's had this year, Harvick had some mechanical and tire issues early on in his what would become championship run of 2014. But as my recollection serves me, Kevin Harvick had a kind of a bumpy start in his first 10 or so races last year. And it came down to, you know, well, geez, is this going to be a good year out at Auto Club Speedway? The drivers are going to be tired. Oh, little pun, folks. They're getting 12 sets of new formulated tires for Fontana. And this year, there are no specs. There are no hard specs from NASCAR on what the PSI, the inflation limits, have to be. There were last year on the harder tires. Any thoughts on, is this going to be a tire race today, do you think? Is that what it might come down to, Sidekick, or no?
I don't know. I honestly, watching them guys practice, those, you know, the bumps in the track, I think, are going to cause them the most problem. If you noticed, you watched, you know, any of these practices, the travel in these cars is just amazing. Correct me if I'm wrong. Last year, we did have all those tire issues, but I believe it was right after this race that NASCAR came back and said, hey, you guys are toying around too much with the PSI and the tires. You know, you guys got to keep it within this range.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of pulled a New England Patriots on them. You know,
right. Yeah, right. You're, yeah, we've got deflation gate.
Yeah, you're deflating your tires too much, and now, you know, you're compromising the wear of the tire because you're putting the pressures too low. You know, so I believe that was this race last year.
No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And Pemberton, NASCAR's own Pemberton, essentially said, listen, the tire failures were not a Goodyear problem. They weren't a problem with the Goodyear. They were a problem with, you're exactly right, the teams tweaking too much. And they had established, and I believe I heard this correctly yesterday during Xfinity, that they have gotten away from that this year. And they're allowing the teams, once again, because they've reduced horsepower and they've, you know, decreased downforce, they're allowing a little more control by the teams. So this year there is not the inflation issue. And in fact, little bit softer tire, I believe I read as well. So it's a slightly different compound. Funny thing, a week ago at PIR, NASCAR went in and I believe what was the term? Seized? Is that the word? They seized tires? there might have been another term as well that they used, but evidently they more or less took some used tires from the Logano crew and the Harvick crew, and they took them for inspection to make sure, I guess, that in fact, hey, nobody's playing games, right?
Yeah. There's compounds out there you can buy that you could wipe on the tires that would soften the rubber, and that's highly illegal in NASCAR.
Okay.
Back in the day when Rusty Wallace would win 13 in a year and Jeff Gordon would win 13 in a year, you know, and everybody said, oh, they got to be cheating. They're doing this. They're putting stuff in the fuel. They're softening the tires. They're doing this. Those allegations would fly left and right. And NASCAR's always done what they just did last week. They'll take a set or two from a couple teams at random, and they run them, especially if somebody's doing well, like Harvick. You know, they always say, you know, if you're going to go out there and win week after week, you better be prepared for scrutiny because they're going to check you. And they do. And they did, and he was fine. So
yeah, about it.
I don't think that's an area. I think the NASCAR guys have, ever since Michael Waltrip had the jet fuel in the manifold down at Daytona, I think they've learned you don't screw with the gas and you don't screw with the tires. Because if you do, NASCAR's going to thump you. So, you know, they're going to screw around with suspension and angles and tire pressure. Yeah, but they're not going to mess
itching?
I don't.
Did you just? Yeah. I've got an itch.
I don't think they're going to play with the tires. I think that's, you know, that's maybe people reacted. Oh, well, why are they doing this? They got to suspect something. Not necessarily. I don't think they suspected anything. I think they just wanted to, you know, let the rest of the garage know, hey, we're still watching this. Don't try nothing funny.
Yeah. Either that or somebody tipped them off.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you might want to go check. Might want to go check that Harvick's tires there.
Yeah,
precisely. You know, exactly. And that might have been somebody from Indianapolis, do you think, that did that? No, I digress. Anybody's out there and you're listening to us, you have found us here, Race Trim Motorsports Hour. I am joined, as usual, by Brandon, our crew chief, and our own pilot sidekick coming to us from St. Louis, Missouri. If you want to climb aboard and holler at us, join in the conversation. We're chatting up NASCAR. We're chatting up Fontana as we get ready to go this afternoon. Do that. Pick up the phone, 347-826-9964. If you're listening on your computer and you are Skype capable, you may go ahead and hit up that little blue Skype button, and that'll bring you into the studio live and in living color. You'll sound like you're sitting right next to us here. And once again, folks, I'm going to throw it out there, and I'll remind the gentleman, we have quite a few drivers that are California dreaming that actually hail from California. And of the 43 pilots that are going to start today for the Auto Club 400, I'm asking, what do you think? How many drivers of the 43 do you suppose are actually California native? Do you have a number in mind? Before we get out of here, I guarantee I'll revisit the subject again. Come up with a number. How many do you think it might be? Is it six? Do you think it might be a dozen? Is that too many? Is it just four? Is it more than four? Is it 44? Nah, couldn't be 44. There's only 43 drivers. Are you kidding me? Well, geez, I don't know. I guess I've been drinking too much. Tell you what, let's do. Why don't we jump over the pit wall, you know? We've got so many fun little stories that happened this week. I shared over, gentlemen, some of the different snippets and things that have occurred this week just to try and give us some color. We have no NHRA to talk about. There's really nothing else going per se in motorsports this week. So let's jump over the pit wall. I'll kick it off with you, Brandon, if you want to go first. Sidekick, if you prefer. Was there any funny little story or funny little snippet of information you wanted to throw out about our past week or what's coming up this week in NASCAR, in the world of NASCAR?
Yeah, I'll pick one off the list that you sent out to us, and I think you and I kind of commented on it on qualifying, was how they tweaked the qualifying leaving of pit road. In other words, instead of backing the cars out and then rolling, they're backing the cars in ahead of time so they can just pull out and avoid any extra, you know, collisions on pit road. And it seemed like that worked out pretty well for them. I mean, they all rolled off of pit road nice and even, and there was no incident. So they're going to keep tweaking this qualifying until they get it right, I guess. Some tracks it works better. I think this track was a good track. It's one of the, you know, where this new one works. Yeah, they still need to figure it out on the restrictor plate tracks. But, you know, I think that was a good change, positive change.
I agree. You know, especially in the very first segment of qualifying, which is the longest segment of 15 minutes. I mean, on the restrictor plate tracks, we had seen, I mean, it was kind of silly, but we had seen that everybody stayed in their stall, and then they waited because they want to wait for drafting and pack racing purposes. They want to wait, and they all slowly kind of pull out. But then at the last second, there's a mad dash, and they're all backing out. And they're, you know, it's looking like high school students at dismissal time trying to beat the buses out of a very small parking lot. I mean, it was crazy. And, yeah, I mean, I thought it went relatively well because they used it clearly in Xfinity, and then they used it, of course, in the Sprint Cup level. And I agree with you, Brandon. I thought that was a pretty darn good move. And the funniest thing is that the drivers kind of came up with the idea amongst them and more or less said, "Hey, did you ever notice?" And the other guy said, "Yeah, how about that? Jeez, I wonder, should we change that?" So that was kind of amusing. Anything jump out at you this past week in the funny, fast world of NASCAR, Sidekick? Any funny story you came across or any nugget you wanted to share with us this morning?
Well, you know, I was a fan of the backing out. You know, if you're a professional driver, you know, that's what you do. You make your money driving. I would think you could back out of a parking spot and get out on the track without hitting somebody. You know, just saying. If you drive,
yeah,
you're a professional.
You would think.
You know, how hard is it to back a car up?
Well, you're right. And interestingly enough, the backing up does not stop. It simply switches. So, of course, when they come down pit road after doing their initial run, well, what do they have to do? They have to back into their stall. So it's not as though backing up has been completely eliminated. So I guess, touche to that. You know, it's funny, Alex Bowman, we heard about this last Monday. Alex Bowman was not running on the lead lap, evidently, when he kind of annoyed Danica during last week's run at PIR. Now, Danica was. She was on the lead lap. I don't know that she was necessarily the last car on the lead lap, but she may have been. But in fact, I guess Bowman was uncertain of that. At least that's what he said afterwards, that he was not sure. And finally, I guess his crew chief, you know, radioed down to him, "Hey, by the way, dude, we're not racing the 10 car, you know, let her get by you." And he claimed that he absolutely did. But he then proceeded to go on Twitter and express to everybody, "Listen, I'm so impressed with what that gal does on the track, you know, I mean, golly," and he gave it a little heart, because he loves Danica. Well, come to find out, Bowman annoyed Danica and almost was a need by Danica. She threatened, I guess. Nobody had cameras. Nobody had microphones, but this, according to Alex Bowman, that she was ready to give him one in the jewels if he ever tried that stuff again. Now, I'm just curious. Is that a sanctionable offense? I mean, she didn't put her hands on him, but had she put a knee on him, would that count?
Well, it might have fallen under that detrimental to stock car racing.
Yeah, is that a 12.1 offense?
Yeah. I don't think we have a specific knee in the groin penalty.
NASCAR may say, hey, you might want to go talk to your stablemate, Kurt Busch, and talk to him about your anger issue.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You might want to get some advice.
We're going to be naming her the outlaw next, I guess. I'm not sure. I've got a few minutes. It's in the wheel. I don't know, Jim. Anybody else have a thought, have a funny, maybe not a funny, but just a little snippet of information you want to share about NASCAR for this past week? Throw it out there for us.
Here's one. Did you guys catch this? This is kind of off the wall, off the pit wall.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys seen Biffle's comments this week?
Oh,
about
my God.
Roush dying a slow death?
Yeah, that's pretty harsh.
Ooh.
That was it, man.
Wow.
That was it. You know, I sat back, and in a funny way, no disrespect, but when he said that, my first thought was, yeah, well, okay, Biff, we've only been knowing that for like the past 3 years. Am I wrong?
No, you're right on. You're right on. They got to do something to get a jolt of life into that organization. I mean, Roush was always one of the better teams out there, and now he's fallen back. He's not going to be much stronger than Front Row Motorsports at the rate they're going. I mean, they're not there. How can the two Penske cars, you know, win all these races for Ford and Roush can't even get a sniff? I mean, that's pretty bad right there.
Yeah, what do you make of it, Sidekick? I mean, clearly, it's sort of like Michael Waltrip Racing, and Kyle Busch said it best back in, back in January before the season kicked up, that it is stupid. I believe that was his term. Kyle Busch said it is stupid that Michael Waltrip, as a fellow TRD member, is not willing to or not able to or whatever, share information with the Joe Gibbs stable. Of course, Michael Waltrip has kind of painted it the other way, that in fact, well, we're the small team and Joe Gibbs doesn't want to come across the aisle and help us. But in this day and age, as Brandon has just alluded to, where manufacturers are looking to win at the end of the year, it is mind-blowing that in fact Roush running Fords can't get with what maybe Penske's doing. Now, obviously, you don't want to give up all your trade secrets, but isn't there some compromise there, huh?
Well,
you would
I don't
think.
Yeah, exactly. You would think. I just don't know if the talent's there at Roush Fenway.
Well, it's another
question.
I mean,
yeah, Carl bailed.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you got Ricky, right? Ricky Stenhouse,
you know,
there.
Yeah, you got Trevor Bayhn and Ricky Stenhouse mm-hmm. Jr. You know, mm-hmm. and you know, you got two young guys that are coming up. You know, Biffle's hot and cold. You know, he's bipolar racer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He'll run well all of a sudden, and he falls off, and you never hear about Biff, you know?
Right.
We used to always joke about putting him on our fantasy team. You think he's doing well, you put him on your fantasy team, and then he blows up.
It's a bust.
You don't run him
the next week, and he was good. Was that 2012 or more like 2013? It was one of those two where Biffle was putting together. He was putting together some reasonably good runs, and I remember that. I remember looking at the old frat house videos of you and Fred House Mike sitting there and laughing about it. Oh, my gosh. We're talking about Biffle again, you know. Did you use him last week? No, I didn't use him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, I didn't use him. I'm going to use him this week, though. That is funny. Well, let me ask you this. I'll throw one more in there. You know, it's a funny thing because in Martinsville, everybody's yelling, that dog won't hunt. I mean, evidently there's a lot of heartburn being caused because Martinsville is evidently doing a switch from an iconic brand of hot dog. The vendor, it goes back, I'm told, to the 1940s, late, maybe early 50s. Jesse Jones, Southern style hot dogs, agreed with Martinsville. It was a handshake agreement. I mean, that's all it came down to. If I read it correctly, this is like a 70-year agreement? Does that sound possible? That, in fact, this would be the famous Martinsville Red Hot. Well, you know, come to find now, they're going to bail on that, and they're going with a brand which is a subsidiary of Smithfield, and of course Smithfield is a major sponsor of the, I believe, Arik Almirola ride from Petty Motorsports. You know, it's funny. I was looking back, and it turns out there was a funny little thing about Dale Sr. That I included. Everyone loves Martinsville hot dogs, but Dale Earnhardt Sr. allegedly used to eat several chili dogs right before making his qualifying run to give himself, quote, extra octane. Holy smokes. So I guess I have to ask. I've just got to ask the question. I mean, gentlemen, is nothing sacred anymore? I mean, really, is this how far we have to go? Oh, my God, I need a beer. Any thoughts on the Martinsville hot dog thing?
I'm a little shocked because that was always one of the rituals that they talk about on TV every year. You go to Martinsville, you got to eat the hot dog. So why would they risk screwing that up? I don't understand why they would do that. We'll see. We'll see if there's any backlash on the television show next week when we're back at Martinsville. I think you're going to hear something about it because it's always been a thing for Martinsville, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
I understand
the end of it.
They switched vendors or attempted to. Yeah, actually, they did. They switched vendors perhaps 2 years ago, and it lasted for like a month, and then they went back to their original vendor because I guess there was public backlash because the chili didn't taste the same. The hot dog texture was different, the whole thing of it. So curiosity, you know. I mean, other tracks have their own, right? What track has, what do they call it, the Carbonator or something of that nature that's a particular sandwich? I mean,
yeah, they all have, some of them have their own little things when it comes to
right?
food. You know, off the top of my head, I can't think of one because the tracks I go to, they don't seem to have, you know, the specialty food. But, you know, the Martinsville and the hot dogs has always been there.
Well, unfortunately,
sure.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there, yeah, that just can't believe it. But, well, there you have it. And so, all right, we had a little fun there, chatting on a little bit of over the pit wall, crack ups and funnies and oddball stuff. And listen, hot diggity dog, we are heading out to do a little California Greenman. In right around 3 hours, I guess, Fox coverage will be kicking up for us right around 3 o'clock. If you want to sit and watch all the KFC commercials prior to the flag time, I know I'll probably be locked on because that's just how little of a life I have. But here's what we'll do. 347-826-9964. Folks, we're going to chat a little fantasy. It's time to do that. We want to chat a little fantasy. And, of course, we have our own sidekick. And our own sidekick has been prognosticating prolifically, oh, how do you like that, 4 years with us here on Frat House Sports in our Frat House Sports show and our video and radio productions. And, of course, we're going to ask our sidekick to give us the lowdown, the skinny. Likewise, we're going to ask Brandon to share his picks for the day. I don't know. Have we heard from Frat House Mike? I'm hoping we can get Frat House Mike to offer his picks as well. But what I wanted to do was just give us a real quick update for our Frat House NASCAR Fantasy Contest. Now, we've had 4 races, and right out front, number one spot is our own sidekick. His team, Spring Rubber, is in first place with 1,247.5 points. But wait a second, right behind him, and this is actually good news, is our own Brandon Brandon is number two with 1,160.5 points. And our Fret House sports friend, Kimber Sue, she's in third with 1,126.5. And rounding out that top five, there's a lot of Hain dominance here. We've got Linda and Bill Hain completing the top five, respectively, at 1,103.5 points and 1,095 points. Now, in the meantime, I'm holding up the rear. I got it. I got it back here. Nothing back here to see, boys. The Oakmark team, I'm trying to move up from the pack. I'm in 21st with 688 measly points. Our Frat House sports team, now this year, of course, that is picked by our own sidekick. This year, our team name is Reed's Eastbound and Downers. They sit at 23rd position with 623 points, and Frat House Mike's Flyers presently sits at 25th. So those of us in the back certainly need some good news, and we want to know. We're going to also talk about Eat My Dust, but let's do one at a time. Sidekick, we're heading on out. And Brandon, do you have the? Do we have his stamp? There we go. Sidekick, yes, you got to help us out. Who's our best fantasy picks going into today's event in California?
To be the man, you got to beat the man. And I'm saying, I'm the man. Woo! Woo!
All right. So now I just need to know how to be the man.
Here's the roster you don't want to pick this week.
Oh, that's what I usually have. All right, go ahead.
I can't figure out this Reed's Eastbound and Downers luck. I'm having that Jeff Gordon kind of season, man, with the reigning champ. So the reigning champ, we're gonna run with Dale Earnhardt Jr. We're gonna run Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick, David Reagan, and Brett Moffitt. I'm going to go with my winner is Kevin Harvick and Chevy.
Wow.
So, Moffitt. All right, I'm writing them down here. And Harvick, Chevy, I heard. So,
yep.
All right, so we're going 4C. We're going 4C for sidekick. Okay. Now, that's our Reeds Eastbound and Downers, yes?
That's the official sidekick. Show picks.
Okay, very good. All right, so I want to make sure I get that right, because I'm going to have to swap these two. Did you want to share your own? Because you are in number one spot, and that
right.
would be Spring Rubber Loose in the Rear or something
yep.
like that. I don't know if I got the right name. Leave it to you, sidekick, with that one. But just for shigs and giggles, go ahead.
All right. The current number one team in the league is
yep.
going to run Dale Earnhardt Jr., Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, David Reagan, and David Gilliland.
Okay, good.
With the Freaky Fast number four is my winner, and Chevy is my manufacturer.
All right, so we're going 4C again. Junior Harvick, Kurt Busch, Reagan, Gilly, and 4C. Gotcha. All right. Actually, I like the sound of both of those. Go ahead, make me jealous, Brandon. How's your pick going to be?
Well, I'm tweaking my team up a little bit this week. I'm trying to see if I can catch this sidekick guy. I'm not quite sure, if I'm making the good choices, because I've been trying to hold steady with my three main guys. But I have to swap one out this week. I'm taking Dale Jr. off and putting Kurt Busch in. I'm also going to keep Harvick, Keselowski, and Reagan, and I'm going to give that Brett Moffitt a try. Hopefully, I can put together a solid team here and gain some ground.
All right. I'm trying to write them real quick. You said Harvick, right?
I am going to go with, I had 41.
Harvick, right, Reagan.
Harvick. Keselowski, Reagan, and Moffitt.
Oh, Kessel.
I am going with Kurt Busch to win as opposed to Kevin Harvick and Chevy. Right. I think Kurt's going to do it.
All right, so you got 41C there. Okay.
Yep.
Let me ask, does anybody know, I've not heard, is Frat House Mike willing to share picks today? Did we get any information or not?
Let me check into that one for you.
All right, no problem. Yeah, find out. What I'll do, I'll go ahead and just I'll list my picks because, you know, I'm terrible at this game. I'm absolutely terrible. Uncle Mark, as I said, is, you know, like in 23rd or something spot. I'm terrible. But just for everybody's edification, I'm going with the number 4 car, Harvick. I like the 13 of Casey Mears. I'm going to run with him. I like the 18 of David Reagan. He continues to add value. I likewise am going with the 41 Chevy of Kurt Busch. And my final pick will be the 42 of Kyle Larson. I'm not sure. Kyle Larson likes this track. He didn't run great. He didn't run terrible yesterday in Xfinity. So I'm going to go with him as a potential top 5. My pick to win it all, I guess I'm right there with Brandon this week. I'm going with the 41 car, the Chevrolet, as my manufacturer. I'm picking Kurt Busch to win the whole darn thing today, and that should be a hoot.
Okay, I do have Frat House Mike's picks. I think he's feeling a little under the weather, maybe not up for being on air tonight or today. So we got Matt Kenseth, Clint Bowyer, Kurt Busch, Martin Truex Jr., David Reagan, with the winner being Matt Kenseth, and the manufacturer I would assume would be Toyota if you're picking Matt Kenseth. So we're going to go with Toyota and Matt Kenseth.
So we're going with the 20, the 20T there. All right, Kenseth, Bowyer, Reagan. I missed a couple. I'm sorry. Repeat them for me.
Kurt Busch.
All right, we got Kurt. Okay, good.
Right, and we got Martin Truex.
All right, and Truex.
And he's
okay,
keeping
good.
That M&M's car on his roster with David Reagan.
Good, gotcha. All right, gotcha. All right, well, real quick and dirty then, eat my dust. This is our own little inside joke kind of thing that we do here. Let me pull up our standings. For the eat my dust picks at this point, Brandon, after 4 races, you've got 12 points. Sidekick's got 8 points. Uncle Mark, yours truly, I have 5 points, and Frat House Mike has 4. This is just basically give us the winner. This is what we do. We kind of put our finger in the air, lick our finger, put it in the air, and check the wind. Who wants to kick it off? Sidekick, is your Eat My Dust winner going to be simultaneous with your fantasy pick? Who's your winner today again? Is it the same or different?
No, it's the same.
So we're going
with 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I wanted to go with Kurt Busch, but I after Harvick's win yesterday,
mm-hmm.
he's going to do the West Coast sweep.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to go with Harvick on this one.
All right, we're going with the 4 car. Brandon, who do you like today? Just maybe it's silly to even ask, right? Are you likewise going to keep the same for your Eat My Dust pick?
I'm going to go with Kurt Busch, and I think Harvick's going to be number 2 right behind him. I think they're going to be 1-2.
It's a 1-2 tandem. Okay.
Yeah, either way. You know, Harvick could win and Busch will be in second, but I think it's going to be the other way. I think Busch just has that, you know, little extra drive right now. He has a point to prove, and
mm-hmm.
If he's at least on par with Harvick, I think you're going to see him prevail. That's just my gut reaction. So.
Okay. I like
and
it.
And
I like
not
it.
I'm not taking anything away from Harvick on it. Don't get me. That's not a diss on Harvick. I just think Kurt Busch is just a man possessed right now. So.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. Do we know Frat House Mike?
Yes, Frat House Mike is going
mm-hmm.
with Matt Kenseth. He's sticking
all right, so
with
he's
his
going
winner
with
as well.
All right,
which
so
is
he's going,
not a bad – he's probably the highest ranked Toyota outside of the two, you know, Stewart Haas cars. So maybe it's
all
time
right.
for Toyota. I mean, as you pointed out earlier, this is a 2-time defending – Toyota winner here. I mean, we had Kyle Busch win this race 2 years in a row. So Toyota can make noise here. So we'll have to see.
All right, real good. All right, I'll tell you what. I'm the only one left. I'm going with the 41 for the Eat My Dust. I like what I see from Kurt. He got me a top 5 last week. It only resulted in 1 point, obviously. I went from 4 points to all of 5 points. In our little contest here, but I do like him, so I'm going to run with the 41 myself. I think he has a very good chance to win. Okay, we're just about ready to wrap this thing up, but you know, I started at the top of the show, and I just asked, how many drivers do you think of the 43 that we have on our roster today? Anybody want to speculate a guess of how many drivers they think are actually California natives running out there today at the Auto Club Speedway? Maybe you've had time to Google this, gentlemen.
I didn't want to cheat and Google it, so I'm just going to throw a number. I'm going to say 5. I know there's 3 for sure, but there's probably a couple I'm not knowing of, so I'll throw 5 out there.
Okay. Interesting. Any guess on the number of drivers at Sprint Cup level today, Sidekick, that might be actually Californians?
Unfortunately, I watched practice yesterday, and I believe the number they gave out was 10.
Okay.
Wow.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 is correct. That's exactly what I have here. Yeah, you're going to be surprised. I'm just going to run down the names just for our own edification. Everybody is aware at this point, because he's, you know, reigning champion, that Kevin Harvick hails from California. He comes from Bakersfield. Likewise, though, there is another pretty good driver right now early in the standings, and that would be Casey Mears, piloting the 13. He likewise comes from Bakersfield. Now, another one that everybody seems to know, because he's in essentially his farewell tour, and that would be the 24 of Jeff Gordon. He comes from Vallejo, California. And a lot of people are aware that Jimmy Johnson is a California native coming from El Cajon. Both of those towns are likewise in the South. But just to round it out, Kyle Larson, who, as I say, came in second at this track last year at the Cup level, hails from Elk Grove. We have Ron Hornaday Jr. He pilots the number 9 car. He's replacing Marcus Ambrose in that ride, who piloted last year. Comes from Palmdale, California. A.J. Allmendinger. Once again, we're going to throw out Allmendinger for our frat house friend Liz. He comes from San Jose County, but it's actually the town is actually Los Gatos, which means the cats. And let me tell you something, those cats with that little Doherty team is running great. So shout out for Allmendinger once again. Hey, how about frat house sports friend Cole Witt? This is considered a home state track for him, hailing from Alpine, California. And finally, David Gilliland and Josh Wise both hail from Riverside, California. So it's a funny, funny thing, gentlemen. You know, we think of this sport, we tend to think of, Martinsville, Bristol. We tend to think of Daytona. We tend to think of Richmond, Charlotte, Dover, Pocono. A lot on the East Coast. We tend to think NASCAR. It's pretty much an East Coast, maybe a Southeast. But here we go. A lot of California influence out there. So there you go, folks. I don't know if you had them, but Sidekick got it right, and that is 10. And Brandon, you were actually halfway there. You had probably the 5. You picked the 5 that were no doubt the most popular of those. Well, gentlemen, it's been a lot of fun.
I was pretty sure on 3 or 4, but I didn't want to, you know, overshoot the numbers, though. I was not aware of some of them, though. That was enlightening.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. And, you know, like I say, you know, fortunately they all qualified, you know. I mean, Josh Wise, I don't think, has been an issue thus far with qualifying. Gilliland, no, they've all actually qualified. Now I'm looking at the 10. There has been no issue with these guys qualifying, but of course we know Cole Witt blew up and had an engine DNF at least in there. Gilliland's been somewhat quiet. Josh Wise, be curious to see. He was kind of a fun back marker to watch last year, but he hasn't really done much yet. But once again, I stress, it's early. We're only in race 5. Gentlemen, it's been a lot of fun. You know what? I've never hit this. Let's see. There. Like that. Okay. All right. I had to hit that little sound drop. I'd never heard that one. Yeah, it's listed NASCAR 3 on our board here.
I like that.
Yeah. I kind of had to hit that just to see what the heck we're doing. Getting ready to suit up. We're going to have our pre-race little meal, and we're going to head out to California. So listen, Sidekick, thank you for checking in with us from St. Louis, Missouri. And as always, Brandon, thank you for co-piloting with me this morning. I'm going to throw it out there to everybody else to please come back and find us next Sunday. We're going to be trying this thing again. We're going to give you the full synopsis of what goes on today out at the Auto Club 400. And, of course, then we'll start looking forward to, you know, what's going to be happening then the following week in Martinsville. Any final thoughts, gentlemen? Anything else we want to throw out? I guess I'll throw this out.
Ladies, that's me! Woo! Cold cuss today.
Yeah, you better believe it.
I think it's going to be a good race. I think we'll see a good race today. I'm hoping. I think we're going to see, you know, lots of – I think you could see a lot of lead changes. I think you could see, especially between Harvick and Kurt Busch. So I think it should be entertaining.
Yeah, I hope so. I sure hope so. We did, there was a lot of good racing yesterday in Xfinity, and interestingly, it wasn't just in like the back half of the top 10. It was actually up front. There were a lot of lead changes that occurred with the front-running cars at this track. I mean, it's a very long track, 2 miles, but it did not diminish the product, so I'm certainly hoping with the slightly better, you know, Gen 6 models, that we're going to see that same type of thing today in 200 laps that we got yesterday, essentially in 150 laps at the lower tier. And throw it out there. Boy, we missed our Fred House Mike. We hope he's feeling better. I did not, I was unaware that Fred House Mike was under the weather, but I'm glad we got his picks in. And folks, we want to thank you. And again, we're encouraging you to come back and find us next week. Sidekick, thanks again. Brandon, as always.
Yep,
and
yep.
Folks, come back and find us next week. We will be here back in the garage. Bring the donuts. We'll have the coffee going. And we'll be talking all things NASCAR and probably, I think next week, we'll have NHRA to throw into the mix as well. So please come back and find us next Sunday morning from 11 till 12, 12:15, 12:30. You know how it is. We do it the frat house way, and we just kind of, you know, we kind of do what we need to do, you know. Until then, gentlemen, enjoy your day. Boogity, 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 and let's go racing. 349 is the green flag out in Fontana, California. Folks, don't you dare miss it.